How many of you are really, really, really determined in your heart that you're going to change and stay changed and work for the Lord? You know, because you're going to have to get that grit in your teeth and go on. You're going to have to leave the dumb stuff behind. It's like when we sang that first song, God said, do they really, really believe this? Come on. You know, we had a beautiful teaching this morning. Absolutely beautiful. But I see some of you did not apply it. You did not apply it. So we're going to have a little bit more tonight. I'm not going to do what I was going to do. I'm going to let Katie do her thing. Because she does it so well. She'd get up there and carry on. Amen. Now we're going to have 14 days of being here together. So whenever you hear this offense tonight, get it in your spirit. Get it somewhere. Don't let it go in the ear and go over top of your head or something. But get it somewhere and get over this offense that you walk in all the time. Come on. If you don't get out of it, I lost somebody because I said that before. If you don't get out of it, you might as well walk on. That's why somebody left. They got offended because I made that statement. But come on. You know, come on. The people got offended with Jesus, did they not? That didn't make Jesus stop his ministry. So let's get this together. These 14 days, let's get this together. Because I want that glory drop God's been promised me is going to happen. I want that signs, wonders, and miracles. Not for us, but for the world. We've already seen the signs, wonders, and miracles. The world needs to see there is a true Jesus because the world does not believe there is a true Jesus. Was it Bob Larson? I think it was. Somebody put on the email that one whole town state does not believe there is a Jesus. They do not believe there is a heaven. And they said, whoever made, I forgot who it was, Perry Stone or somebody, and said, how far away is America from that, believing the same thing? Evidently you don't understand how serious this walk with God is at this given time. You don't understand that we are in the end times. I didn't say Jesus is going to come back in the next 10 years, next 15 years. I don't know the date or time, but we're supposed to be working for the Lord until he does. And we're not supposed to be working with one foot in the church and one foot out of the church. We're supposed to be working for the Lord 100% all the time. It doesn't matter what you go through. You know, you signed a contract with God, a covenant. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be your disciple. Isn't that what you did? I guess you did. That's what I did. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. Now, Father, you come tonight. And you touch these people's hearts. You let them see, Father God, that you are training them up in the ways that they should go so they can be the soldiers that you are calling them forth to be. And Father God, I'm asking you right now, let your angels be walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight to waylay the enemy at every turn. And Father God, help your people to be set totally and completely free. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Katie, what she did when she first started her ministry, she went to Isaiah 14. So we're going to go to Isaiah 14. And she went to war with it and threw Satan down in her life. And then she proceeded on her walk with God. But she had to get that part done, she knew, before she could go any further. So let's read this. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress tree rejoiced over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? He's talking about Satan, okay? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, the worms and worms over you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you weaken the nations. Now, she said this scripture over and over to Satan until he understood that she understood that he was not over her, that he was under her feet. And he couldn't hinder her walking God in any way. Goes on to say, for you, for you have said in your heart, this is what Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down. This is what Satan was bragging he was going to do. But it says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble and who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial. Because you have destroyed your land and slain your people, the brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and prosperity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, not said, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is a purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is a hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? This is a burden which came in the year that King Ahaz died. Do not rejoice, all you of Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a viper, and its offspring will be a fiery flying serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. I will kill your roots with famine, and it will slay your remnant. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all of you of Philistia are dissolved, for smoke will come from the north, and no one will be alone in his appointed times. What will they answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it? She took that and she warred with that until she had that in her spirit, and the devil knew he had no power and no authority over her. And I think we need to do the very same thing. I think that scripture was Isaiah 14:1-32. I think that we need to let the devil know that he has no control. Jesus has all power and all authority, but Satan has no control. He's totally out of control. If you don't believe that, look at the world around us. And it's not until you let Satan know that you know that you are the head and not the tail that he's going to let you alone. He's never going to depart from you as long as you're doing all the dumb stuff you're doing. But whenever you finally grow up in God, when you finally quit wanting somebody to bottle feed you, That's until that point, whenever you're eating the meat, Satan's still going to come at you with everything that he has. Your sin nature is killing you. I'm talking to the whole body of Christ. And you've got to get out of your sin nature. Sins of any type, you have to dissolve them all. Amen? All right, now let's go, Brett, to that the scripture at the very back. John 14:30, you have that? It's the very end of the thing. Thank you. You got it? John 14:30. I will no longer, this is Jesus telling his disciples, I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Jesus had no sin in him, therefore the enemy could not touch him. So why are you being touched? Because there's still sin in you that you have not yet dealt with and gotten out of you. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. From the time that God called me from the time I became born again, and then when God called me into the ministry, the enemy had no place in me, so he could never touch me. It wasn't until about 2 years into my marriage that things started falling apart in my life, and I was traumatized over and over and over again. So that was when I went from being blessed to cursed. Why? Because there was sin in me. My soul was being wounded day after day after day after day. And then finally, whenever my mother passed away, that's when the biggest trauma hit me, because she died because she could not deal with what was going on, what people were doing to me. So she just didn't want to see it no more, so she willed to die. And that traumatized me a lot. More than I care to think about. And it was at that point that I gained the 20 pounds overnight and then 20 more pounds within another week. And I always said, this is not natural. This is demonic. And according to Katie Souza, it is demonic. She said, she'll say it in every tape you listen to, that she was out ministering, and she always stays at 133. She won't go above that. And she said whenever she could cut home that night, she had gained 6 pounds. And she said, God, what is this? So he said, she was on the road traveling. You got offended today. So she took her little thing that I passed out today. She laid on her bed, laid her hands on her stomach, and prayed this prayer over it until all of a sudden, boom, her hands just fell flat on her stomach. All that 6 pounds disappeared instantly. She did this 2 more times. She said, and the third time, she said, why did I let myself get offended? Because here was a 6 pound back again within an hour. So this time when she went to pray, the other 2 times it lifted, the weight went off of her real quick. But this time she had to pray for 2 hours solid before the weight left her. It was all because she became offended. My weight is on me, and I've always said this, because I was traumatized very deeply. And then I went into offense too, because the same people kept doing the same thing over and over and over, and looking me in the face and saying, I love you. But yet behind my back, they were doing terrible things. I got offended. So I've been crying out to God, God, why can't I lose this weight? Why this and why that and why the other? Why do I get angry at the drop of a hat? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And so then my husband came out the other day and he said, you know, Katie Souza has a teaching on offense that I think you'll like. And so I said, God, this is my answer right here. This is my answer. And that's why we heard it this morning. And so tonight, and another thing she said too, which is every one of you who travel to minister, I don't care if you're just a person, I don't care if you're an evangelist, I don't care if you're a pastor, I don't care what you are. She said wherever she goes to minister, when she steps off the out of the car or the airplane, however she got there, she said she was always attacked immediately and got sick. And God let her see that the principality over that area was waiting for her. Let's just say she went by car. And when she stepped out of her car into their territory, because she had that thing in her soul, it was able to attack her. So she then God showed her, you have to get that out of your soul, that wound. So she would pray, get that thing out of her soul, then she wouldn't be sick no more. She'd be immediately healed. So she wants us to know, and if you get on YouTube and listen to her, you'll hear it. She wants you to know that every place you go, and when you get into the enemy's territory, and he attacks you and makes you sick, then there's something in your soul that's wounded, that's attached to that territory, and you need to get it healed before you can get well again. Sometimes, so as I, you know, whenever I read something or I learn something, I apply it to my own life. And there for a while, I would come in here and I would say, I'd be so happy, but I walked through those doors and I would get angry. What was happening is there was anger in the church, and because I had that wounding in my soul, the enemy had a way to attack me because I had anger in my soul. Now I know what to do. I already did it. I took this little prayer that I passed out, laid in my bed last night, and I got rid of that thing. You see what I'm saying? So if you're fine, and then you go into some place and all of a sudden you're not fine anymore, then that means there's something in your soul that's attached to whatever's going on in that house or workplace or whatever. And so until you can get it out of there by using this prayer and freeing yourself up. Now, do you understand that? Quit wanting to run to a pastor. Quit wanting to run to a friend. Run to Jesus. Get your paper. Now, since you have the prayer, get your paper and set yourself free. You should never have to talk to anybody ever again about anything in your life, because it's your soul that's wounded. You know where you're at when that thing acts up. You need to take care of it. Get your prayer. Get before God and take care of it. If you're out there in the battlefield, what I'm talking about is as the days get darker and you're out there in the battlefield all by yourself, and you get into a territory where there's a woundedness in your soul that's familiar where you're at, you can't wait till I get to the church Sunday and get rid of this thing. No, you've got to know how to do it right there on the spot. You can't wait till you get to church Sunday to have God give you direction and what to do, instruction and what to do. You have to learn to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself. There's too many people sitting in a house of the Lord. They don't want to fight for nothing. Oh, I'll just go to church and I'll just tell somebody my woes and I'll just have them pray for me and they can do the work. But you won't ever stay free. You won't, because you're expecting somebody else to work for you. I always said, and I will always say, I wouldn't want some Christians in a foxhole with me, because they would shoot me. They would run away as soon as the first shot was fired, and my back would not be covered. Everybody in here, if you're really following God, you can say the very same thing, because they don't cover you anyhow. If you're out there in a foxhole and the enemy's shooting all around you, you look around and say, get the one on the right. Well, there's nobody behind you because they've done run off the place. I've said that from day one after I found out what the body of Christ is like, because the body of Christ doesn't stand with you. And I'm believing and I'm hoping that this church is different. I'm believing and I'm hoping that we stand with one another. Somebody said to me, have you been getting my emails? I said, yeah, I've been getting your emails. Well, you haven't written back. I haven't had time, but I've been sick. Just had a stroke. I've been sick. I have not had time, but I got your email and I prayed. Now, why do I have to answer your email to let you know I got your email? I pray when I get something. I pray when I get a telephone call. What is in you that wants you to call me to tell you, hey, or email you, say, hey, I got it, and I'm praying? What is it in you that needs that little pat on the back? Are you understanding this? So what if my email breaks down? You know, I can't answer you back. We got to get it together. God's told me that He's going to. This church is going to walk in the signs, wonders, and miracles. And He is trying to get you guys to the place where you can hold the dunamis power to do the signs, wonders, and miracles. Not everybody is going to be able to do that because you will not get out of your offense. And as you listen to Katie tonight, you can see yourself, I know, in what she says. Everybody was so anxious to see me. They hadn't seen me for 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, I guess you're saying, right? No, see, this is what Kathy would say. You sit there and think, well, they're thinking this, they're thinking that. But here she goes again. I have never stopped. Even when I was homesick, I never stopped. I was constantly telling somebody what to do, right? Making sure you're doing what you should have done. Because somebody has to lead the sheep. And God expects when he puts you as a shepherd over the sheep, I don't care where in what capacity, or He set Nancy over the sheep with her intercessory prayer. He expects her to be their leader. He expects her to do what has to be done, and He expects her to tell the others what they're supposed to do. Not me. He didn't set me over the intercessory prayer group. Are you understanding this? And so why is it we won't carry our responsibilities? Lord, send me out there with signs, wonders, and miracles. Let me raise the dead and bloop, de bloop, de bloop. And you know, you can't even give instructions, or you can't even take instruction. You know, all right, so this woundedness in your soul, and I'm so glad we ran across this, that Larry ran across it and shared it with me. Because, you know, I told you, you know, I know that I know that I know that the glory of God is not dwelling in me like it did before. And now I know it's all because there's still so much woundedness in my soul that I myself have to work with and get it out. And the minute I do, and I have already started, then God's going to be able to come in there and do the things He used to do. Brother Chris Lynch knows me when he first met me. I mean, God worked through me, just drop of the hat. There He was. And I loved it. And then when that hat drops and He's not there, I don't love that no more. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But I didn't understand that my soul was wounded. And like I say, Katie has 50 teachings on her blog, whatever you call that thing. Get on there and listen to them until they're so ingrained in your spirit, that's all you think and eat and dream and everything else. I went to bed last night and I got awake one time with the baby and I was hearing her voice telling me what to do. We need to get in our spirit man so it plays over and over and over and over again, no matter what you're doing. Amen. Now, she's not going to say this tonight, but you all remember what I just said. If you go into some other place, into some other town, and you get attacked with sickness, it's because there's something in your soul that is connected to what's in that town, and you have to get it out of your soul so you can go ahead and minister. She said she can go anywhere now and doesn't get attacked with anything. And, you know, she said that with all her drug stuff and everything she was doing, she had a lot of junk in her soul. But she herself has worked with her soul herself as God showed her. And that's why, you know, it's like Brother Breck has been being told about the courtroom in heaven. She's been told about this soul wounding. You know, God uses different people and tells them different things. And then He sends you out and He uses you in that expertise that He's given you. Because you can't think this stuff up yourself. I mean, some people can, but you know, it's not going to have any fruit to it. If it's going to bear fruit, it has to come straight from the throne of grace. Are y'all understanding this? So, you know, if God is sharing things with you you've never heard before, well, write it down. And just watch what direction He's taking you to. Right now, you know, with what He told me, what I am now, I said, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this new assignment you've given me? I still don't know, but He'll show me. He'll show me. And He'll show each one of you, too, what your new assignment is. He's given new assignments. He's changing everything around about you, so don't fight Him. Let Him do the changing. Let Him give you the new assignments. Then you go on and do the thing that He's calling you to do. Well, I don't know what He wants me to do. I don't either at this point. I just get up and say, here I am, Jesus, just do your thing. And that's what I do, because I really don't know what he wants me to do. And so I just go by the, you know, as he does, tells me what to do, that's what I do. There's nothing wrong in that. At least you're doing something for the Lord. And really, if he's leading you, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. And even though you don't understand it now, you will. It might be 5 years down the road. God told me something, to do something near one time. I said, all right. And I did it. But it was 4 years later. I said, oh, that's what you meant by that. What he said to me, his daughter, every service I want an altar call given. So every service I was giving, I was saying, okay, everybody come up to the front because God wants to touch you. How dumb can I get and still preach? What he was saying is, get the souls up here that needs to be saved. Amen. Oh, you look at y'all grinning. But anyhow, they still got touched. They still got changed. 4 years later, I was sitting one day at my desk, and he said, daughter, do you know what when I told you to always have an altar call? I said, yeah, I do. He said, but you didn't understand me. He said, but I still worked on the people. So I was telling Larry the other day, I said, what we need to do is just sit there until we and say, okay, so you get a one-liner from God, just sit there until he gives you a whole paragraph. You know, just don't go with the one-liner thing. Don't wait till 4 years down the road. And he said, let's talk about what I told you to do. God is funny. Amen. I don't do that, though. I just flat tell you, this is what I want you to do. If you don't do it, I'll come back and say, get it done. You know, and I said, God, why don't you just explain the whole thing to me? I think he just likes to watch me. He just has fun with me. Amen. All right, now tonight we're going to learn. So what did Jesus say? What did he say there? Let's read that scripture again. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Now I want within the next week every one of you to be able to say, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Jesus had no sin in him, and you're going to be able to say, you have nothing in me, Satan. Therefore, the enemy, you can't touch me. I remembered whenever we was doing deliverances here real strong, Brother Chris and I were, whenever nobody else was, him and I were doing them, and the devil said, I can't touch you, and then he started talking about my family. I said, leave my family out of this. See, there was nothing in me. There still isn't, but there's, you know, I tell it all, so he can't use it, you know, there was nothing in me that he could do anything with, and signs, wonders, and miracles were flying all over the place. You know, you don't have to slap me, because I slap myself every day. How could you be so dumb and let this happen? Are you listening? I think God has to wake us all up so he lets us do dumb things. And he stands there and grins and what they're going to say when they wake up and find out that they've done it all wrong. You know? Now, don't you wish you wouldn't have got offended one time? I mean, it'll take you to places you don't want to go. It will. So now, are you serious about serving God?
Yes.
Are you serious about that, fulfilling that scripture that Jesus said? Are you serious about that? Where Satan will have nothing in you that he can touch. That you're going to be totally 100% free of all sin. And that is possible. Don't tell me it isn't, because I don't want to talk to you. That is possible. You do not have to have sin in you. The Word of God said that he has made a way of escape for anything you go through. And every time I got into sin, it's because I just flat didn't care what he said. And I'm being honest. I know what your Word says, but... And then I paid a price for that, so I quit saying that. I'll get mad if I want to. Go ahead. I'll stand back here and watch you suffer. That's what he did for a whole year whenever I did that. So I never did that again. So don't ever do that. All right, you know what the Word of God says? Then live what the Word of God says. He will take care of you. We don't have to be offended. We really don't. We go there because we like it. I don't know why we like it. It's some people does something for them. What? I don't know. You don't have to walk an offense ever. Never. Ever, ever. You don't. So I'm expecting, as you listen to her, and I want you to listen to her tonight. She does it very well. And I want you to let it go into your spirit, man. Tell your spirit, man. Maybe you should go into your soul. You know. You might tell your soul, okay, soul, wake up. I want you to hear what this lady's saying because you're getting ready to be revamped here. I'm going to reorganize you and all this woundedness is going to leave. Amen. Are you ready, Brother Chris? Listen to this very closely, please. Before you start, does everybody get this little prayer as you came in? If you didn't get this morning, Shirley was supposed to give it to you tonight. Anybody didn't get it? If Shirley missed you, just trip her as she goes by you, okay?
This is Healing Your Soul with Katie Souza. Real keys to the miraculous. What's weighing you down, holding you back? What has wounded your soul? Today with Katie, discover the healing power of God for your life. Katie was once broken, oppressed, in bondage to a life of mental and physical pain. Until God gave her a new life and powerful messages of how you can heal your wounded soul. Now, here is Katie to begin today's program.
Hi, I'm Katie Souza, and you're watching Healing Your Soul, Real Keys to the Miraculous. This week, we're going to continue our study on offense. This may seem like a message you've heard before, but trust me, you haven't. Not like this. We all know that offense is a sin, but did you realize that it could wound your soul, then make you sick? You could be battling with illness, disease, bacteria, flu symptoms, and it could be because you've let yourself get offended. I was offended at everything and everyone. But I started to notice that every time I would get offended, suddenly I would get sick. This was a pattern I went through over and over again until, I finally figured it out. The Holy Spirit showed me the connection between being offended and getting physically ill. Once I repented for my offense and I put the dunamis power of Jesus on the wounds in my soul that came from offense, I would get healed of whatever illness I had at the time. Now I keep myself unoffendable on purpose. And it's enabled me to have dominion over all kinds of diseases and disorders. I want you to get ready because today you're going to get healed of your offense and you're going to go to a whole new level.
Offense is a sin that can wound your soul and then cause you to be sick. Let's look at some more biblical proof in James 5, okay? It says this, "Then now confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, and your sins. And pray for one another that you would be healed." So in this verse, it kind of breaks down some of the different types of sins that could have caused the sickness. And it lists offenses as one of them. In the Bible, offenses refers to sin. But the word offense also means to be offended. It's saying here that when you confess your offenses to one another, you will be healed. Healed of what? Well, I looked it up. Does it mean just spiritually healed? Does it mean, you know, healed in your mind? Does it mean, what does it mean? I looked up the word healed, and it means to be healed of diseases. Meaning, when you get healed of the sins of offense, you will be healed of the diseases that came upon you when you took part in that sin. Now, offense is not only a sin that makes you sick, but offense also hinders you from receiving supernatural empowerment from Jesus to get well. You want a miracle, but you're offended. And offense stops the miracle realm from being open to heal you. Let me prove it. Remember the story in Matthew 13 where Jesus goes to his hometown and he begins to teach in the synagogue, and everybody's like amazed and saying, "Wow, who's this guy? Don't we know his family? You know, where did he get all these powers?" And Jesus responded to them by saying, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown." And then he says this, "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." See, the Bible says that it was because of their lack of faith that Jesus was unable to perform miraculous healings in his hometown. But guess what? It was not only the sin of unbelief that blocked the miracle healings. It was the sin of offense. Listen to the whole story in verse 54. It says, "Coming into his own hometown, Jesus began to teach the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?' they asked. 'Isn't this the carpenter's son?' Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas with us? Aren't his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And then verse 57 says this, and they took offense at him. And he did not do many miracles there. Ouch. It wasn't just lack of faith that shut down the miracle power. It was the sin of offense. They were offended at Jesus. And because of that, he could not do the miraculous healings that he would normally do there. See, the church right now is sick, and we're praying for healing. And we're believing it, and we're decreeing it. We got our Bibles out. We got our scriptures. By his stripes we are healed. God sent his word and healed them. And we're quoting our scriptures, and we're fasting, and we're praying, and we're decreeing and believing. And nothing's happening. You know why? Because simultaneously while we're fasting and praying and decreeing and believing, we are being offended at our spouse. Or at our neighbor. Or at our pastor. Or at somebody. You're believing for healing, but you're being angry and offended at the same time. And the sin of offense shuts down the miracle realm. Are you with me? You got quiet. Is that because you're convicted? I hope. No. Are you with me? So how do we get healed of these wounds that come from our constant offense? I got to go back to the same, I'm preaching the same message over and over again. Two things. This is a simple message. It's all about Jesus. It's about his cross and his resurrection. The blood from the cross and the dunamis power that comes from the resurrection. You see, sometimes we need both. We've been only pleading the blood. And that's why, let me just tell you this. That's why when you get offended at somebody, be really bothered, and then after a while you go, okay, God, I'm convicted. I'm sorry. I'm offended at them. I repent for being offended, and I forgive that person I'm offended at. And you spend the time in your closet, right, repenting and forgiving. Repenting for being bothered, repenting for being offended, and forgiving that person. And then what happens? You walk out of your closet. You're all proud of yourself. You think, okay, I did the right thing, Christian thing. Okay, you get in your car. You go to the grocery store to go shopping. You walk in there, and there in the corner of that store is that woman who has been talking about you this whole time that you're offended at. And as soon as you see her, you go like this. Why do you do that? Didn't you just repent and forgive? Why do you feel like that when you see her? Why do you go, as soon as you see her? Because you put the blood on the sin. But you never put the dunamis on the wound that sin made. That wound is still there making you hate that person's guts. So you go back in your closet. Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't stop thinking about how much I can't stand that person. I'm so sorry, and I repent and I forgive them again for the 15th time this month. And you go back in your closet over and over again. You feel so convicted because you can't stop being a hater in your mind. But it's because there was still a wound there. You didn't stay in your closet and participate and take a hold of the blood from the cross and the dunamis power from the resurrection. You got to start pleading that over your soul just as much as you plead the blood. Because if you had, you would have received the power of dunamis inside of you. You would have become what dunamis means, excellent of soul. And next time you see that woman in the grocery store, you'd be like, girlfriend! I love you. I know. You love me too. I love you back. And you'll mean it.
For the last several years, we've been going inside prisons to minister to inmates, and we've seen some really cool miracles. Everything from busted knees to serious diseases. But even better, I love witnessing men and women who've been rejected their whole lives receive a real heart transformation. Jesus is in the business of changing lives, and we've been called to help. With your support today, we can change more lives and do more together.
Today, with your support, you are giving hope and healing to a life that may be in a desperate need of change. Call now, and when you do, Katie would like to thank you for your gift by sending you a copy of Stay Unoffendable, Total Transformation 4-Disc Set. With your gift of $35 or more, you will have a part in putting God's Word directly into the hands of a life that is ready to change. Call toll-free 1-800-789-7895.
Did you know that getting worked up and offended can cause sickness in your body? Have you or someone you know suffered from repeated flus, infections, and even teeth and mouth issues? This revolutionary teaching reveals the toll that offense takes on your health. In this CD set, I've included a powerful time of personal prayer that will lead you to receiving your miracle.
Call now with your gift, 1-800-789-7895. Help Katie reach out to thousands of prisoners with a powerful message of God's ultimate healing power.
So I want to tell you a couple stories. I'll rat myself off, that way you'll feel better. I'll tell you a couple stories about offense and how we got sick because of it. Remember, it says when you confess your offenses to one another, you'll be healed of diseases. That's what that means. And that word disease incorporates a lot of things like bacteria, illnesses, ailments, viruses. Well, I've noticed, like I've said many times, that people who get the flu or flu-like symptoms or bacterial diseases or disorders or infections or viruses are people that are wounded in their soul, that people have offense in them. I see a lot of people having those kind of disorders. So a couple years back, we got our first-hand encounter with that. My husband and I, we had just started the ministry not too long before that, and a guy had emailed us and put in for a bid that we had put in for a printing job. We had a couple different people put in this bid for the printing job. And when we got all the bids, we realized it was too much and we didn't want to do the job, so we didn't do it. Well, anyway, so we dropped that job, and then about a year later or so, we got really our first level of exposure in media and on television, and our ministry exploded to a new level, and we were doing a lot more business and spending a lot more money because we were doing a lot more tasks. And at that time, I remember, my husband got an anonymous email sent to him from a guy who was not nice at all in the email. You could tell he was very upset and very wounded. And he was telling us what horrible people we were, and we were horrible Christians, and we weren't real Christians. And he said other choice comments that I won't share right now. But he kind of went on and on about that. Well, let me just give you a warning. Never send my husband an anonymous email, because he's like a computer genius. In like 5 seconds, he'll know exactly who you are. So he gets on the internet and goes, oh, honey, it's one of those guys that put in for the printing bid. And I went, oh, he must have gotten wounded because we didn't pick his business to do the job. But we didn't pick any business, but it must have bothered him. I said, just answer the email, honey. Just, repent to him, tell him we're sorry, ask him if we can do anything, ask him to share his heart. And so my husband does, but he doesn't tell the guy he knows who he is because he doesn't want to embarrass him, right? So he sits there and he writes a nice email. Oh, we got your email. We're so sorry if we've offended you in any way. If we sinned against you, we really want to know about it. Would you please, communicate with us, tell us what we've done, because we want to repent to you, and we wish you all the best and all the wellness. Please respond to my email. So the guy does respond, but he doesn't respond with, yeah, you did this or that. He responds with, no, you're not sorry. You don't want to do anything. You guys don't want to ask for my forgiveness. And he went on and on, and he was very, very angry. Well, my husband, answered another. He answered back, no, really. We are sorry. If you would just communicate with us in process and let us know what it is we did to, harm you, we would like to repent to you. Just please let us know. Share your heart with us. He writes back again, and it got even worse. You don't mean a word you're saying. You're a bunch of false Christians. He went on and on in this email. Well, pretty soon it started an email war. And my husband was like, hooked like a fish. Couldn't stop emailing this guy. And I could hear the keyboards pounding harder every time. And he was getting more and more bothered until finally my husband got offended. He got offended. So he would come out of the office and he would be ranting about this guy, right? He goes, oh, that guy emailed me again. I can't believe him. Here I am and I wrote all these nice emails to him. I didn't even tell him I knew who he was. And I'm sitting there begging him to receive, you know, our forgiveness, to tell us to share his heart. And all he's doing is just disparaging and saying this and that. That guy is horrible. And I looked at my husband and I go, be careful. He's offended, but we can't get offended. You know, we can't let ourselves get offended. So watch out. And he goes, oh, whatever. Goes back and the email war continues. Right? And they go back and forth. And this went on for like a month. A month until my husband was completely offended. I mean, every day he would start ranting and raving about this guy. He would get out of his office and walk into the house and be like, oh, I can't believe it. I got another email from that guy. He's not a real Christian. A real Christian would never act like that. This is just too much and he better stop it. And he's starting to rant, right? And now as he's doing this ranting thing, it's like, I'm feeling me getting offended. And I'm looking at him going, you need to stop getting offended because now I'm getting offended because you're offended. And it just went on and on. It's this full out war. It's all I heard about for like over a month, right? So then one weekend, we are home. I wasn't on tour for a change. We decided we were going to visit my stepdad out in Sun City. So we're like sleeping in that morning. I'm thinking everything is calm, but who knows? The calm before the storm, right? I'm laying in bed, and you know how you can feel the energy, the attitude coming off of somebody? I'm laying calmly in bed. My husband's asleep, but as soon as his eyes popped open, I knew he had just woken up, man. I felt it. I was like, right? And he opened his eyes, and he puts his leg and swings it out of the bed. And as he did, he goes, that guy! He goes, I dreamed about that guy all night! And he's like stomping to the bathroom, right? And he goes, oh, I tell you, he better stop it or I don't know what I'm going to do. And he gets to the bathroom door, right? And all of a sudden he stops at the bathroom door. And he flips around and he looks at me and his entire countenance changes. And he goes, huh, all of a sudden I feel really sick like I'm getting the flu. Ooh, as soon as he said that, I got so mad, right? I felt the offense rise up in me. And I looked at him and I said, you are getting sick because you let yourself get offended. And as soon as I said it, a wave of the flu hit me. Instantly, I'm so serious. Instantly, my muscles ached. I started sweating. I had a fever, my glands swole up, I felt that queasy, like spinny feeling, and I knew I'd gotten the flu. And that made me even more mad. I looked at him and said, and now I'm sick because I got offended that you were offended. It was horrible. But we know what to do. So we get in the car, right, we pack all our stuff, and we have to drive like 45 minutes to my stepdad's. As we're in the car, and we did the two steps, we sat there and we started with the blood, and we just went like, Lord, you know what? We repent for being offended at that guy, and for keep on playing into it, and for writing the emails to him, and for thinking offended thoughts about him, and being judgmental and critical and bothered. We repent for that. We forgive that guy for being offended. Lord, we ask that you forgive his sin offense so that he doesn't get sick. And then I sat there going, God, I repent for getting offended at my husband because he was getting offended. And I repent for that, and I forgive my husband for being offended. And we went through the whole thing with the blood. And then we didn't stop there. We went to the next step. We said, now, God, now we're going to just apply dunamis power. We know dunamis comes from the resurrection, that it makes us excellent of soul. It's the oil of the anointing that's poured out of people when they pray for the sick. And it's going to heal us of everything in our soul that came, all the wounds that came from those sins of offense. And we just prayed that the whole way. And then we pull in right as we're finishing. And I didn't have time to check to see how my husband felt or anything like that. We jumped out of the car. We got the dogs out and everything else. Take it in the house. I'm unpacking all the stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm going like this. And I'm checking my body. And the fever is gone. The swelling in my throat is completely disappeared. No more pain in my muscles. The flu was absolutely gone. I'd been delivered in 45 minutes of just praying for my soul. So I'm in there and I'm like, I wonder how my husband feels. So he's doing something. I go in the living room, I sit down on the couch, and my husband's just so nonchalant about the things of the Spirit. I'm like, charismatic Kate, and he's like, Robert. So he comes in, I'm sitting on the couch, right, and he walks in like this. He goes, well, I'm healed. Just like that. Right now there's people watching this telecast and they are completely offended at someone and you're sick right now. Sick at the same time. And you've been praying and you're so frustrated, so exhausted and tired. Why isn't Jesus doing a miracle for you? You read about the miracles in the Bible. You know they exist. And you desperately need one for yourself, and you're not getting it, and maybe it's because you have become offended at someone. And it's shutting down the miracle power of Jesus. Amen? So how do we get healed of these wounds that come from our constant offense? So you need to start with the blood always. But you can't stop there. You can't stop there. Because our sins of offense have made wounds in our soul. And we need to have those wounds healed. And the specific power that does that is the dunamis power that comes from the resurrection. Paul said, Philippians 3:10, I want to know him and the power, dunamis, of his resurrection. That word dunamis means what? Excellence of soul. That's what it means in the Greek. Excellence of soul. It makes your soul excellent. It heals the wounds that came from the sins of offense. Now just start to put the blood on that particular situation. I'll start to lead you in prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent for being offended at that person. I need your blood right now. Take your blood. Wash me clean of my sin of offense. I am so, so sorry, Jesus, that I have been judgmental and critical and backbiting and offended at a person. Please wash me of my sin. I need your blood to atone for the sin in my soul. I receive your blood right now. And I believe that it's washing me clean of every sin of offense that could ever wound me. And I forgive the person I am offended at. Lord, wash their sin with your blood so that they don't get sick. I forgive them now. And I believe that you will heal them too. And I decree it in the name of Jesus. Say amen. I release my oil of anointing of dunamis. Said, if you're sick, go to the spiritual heads of the church. Well, I'm going to release what I have for you right now. Oil of anointing. I decree it right now. It's being paired with your anointing of dunamis. Going to your soul to heal your soul of every wound that came from being offended. Came from being offended. Receive the oil of the anointing along with the prayer of faith. That right now your soul is being filled with dunamis. You are excellent of soul. I decree it right now. The oil of the anointing of dunamis flowing out even into the audience watching our program right now. To receive healing in their souls right now. Everyone in this building and watching right now. To receive healing in your soul right now with the power of the oil of anointing of dunamis. You are excellent of soul. You are wounded no more. In the name of Jesus, I decree the anointing of dunamis going deep into your soul right now to heal you of every woundedness that's making you sick in the name of Jesus now. Right now. In the name of Jesus now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Okay, just keep on releasing that anointing of dunamis inside you. Right now. Right now.
So now, I decree that you are healed of the wounds in your soul that came from the sins of offense. And now I speak to every pain, every disease, every illness, every ailment, every virus, every bacteria in your body, and I command it to die right now in the name of Jesus. I said die in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of affliction and infirmity to loose you now in Jesus' name. I command you to be well, be healed, and be whole in the name of Jesus. Amen.
For the last several years, we've been going inside prisons to minister to inmates, and we've seen some really cool miracles. Everything from busted knees to...
Well, what do you think of that one? You guys are you still walk in offense. I see it in your faces. Hear it in your voices. It's sin, and God can't even prosper you financially. It's robbing you of your finances. It's robbing you of your relationships. It's robbing you of your businesses, of your churches, of your anointing. It's robbing you of everything. Is it really worth it? You know, is it really worth it? Is that individual that you're offended at, are they worth losing everything over? That person you're offended at is probably out there enjoying life. Yeah. One thing Kate said, it was whenever you throw offense at somebody else, you're... That offense comes back to you too. And the poison you threw at them for them to drink, you yourself are drinking. It's not worth it. It truly is not worth it. When I hear, well, my husband did or my wife did, you're offended. And your soul was wounded. And you short-circuited your relationship with God. Is it worth it? I really believe what's going to happen, the body of Christ won't be talking very much. Because that's all the body of Christ talks about is how offended they are. Are you listening? I got offended because somebody in here, one of my staff got offended at me, and I thought, how dare they? Because it was stupid. But just like Katie, then I got offended, and see, we both messed up. I've covered all that. I got all that taken care of there real quick. Like, so what have you done? What have you done? So if your husband wants to act like a jerk, you don't have to act like one. If your kids are acting like jerks, you don't have to act like one. You don't. What I'm saying is you don't have to get offended at them because of how they're acting. If your boss is having a bad day, that doesn't mean you have to have one. You know? This spirit of offense is so vital that we get a hold of it and quit being offended. You're never going to do anything for anything. Everything that I've heard her say and everything God's spoken to me, you're never going to do a thing for God as long as you walk in offense. Nothing. You're out there telling people what a wonderful Christian you are, and you're dead inside. Because your spirit is, your soul is so wounded. And you keep wounding, you wound your own self is a problem because of your offenses. God really and truly does, you know, and some of you sit in here and you know, and God gives us a wonderful revelation, but you sit in here and you hear it, you smile and you grin, you might clap your hand, and you next day, what happened to what they just heard? They're not even acting like they heard anything. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't touch nothing. Are your senses so dulled that you just can't comprehend anymore what God is trying to tell you so that he can set you free? I want you to sit and think about this tonight. And then what I want, when you're really ready, and please don't just do it, when you're really ready to get rid of offense and get your soul totally and completely free of that offense, then I want you to come up now, because God does want to set you free tonight of offenses. He wants your soul totally and completely healed. You know, if you're crying out to God, God, heal my soul, heal these soul wounds, God hears that, and he's going to do that miracle that you need. So if you really mean business with God, and if you really want to go on with your walk with God, the altar is open. And this isn't what God was talking about, having an altar call. But these are altar calls that he really wants to work on you in.